Warning, this show contains strong language and scenes of a queer nature.
Yes!
Hey, I'm Josh and welcome to the fourth episode of The Art of Being Queer podcast, creating a culture experience through podcast, documentary and exhibit. Here's a snippet of what's to come.
Maybe my last character, Eric Bigclit. So I do drag shows now, and in Austria there are hardly any drag kings, and I had this fake beard on and my chainsaw and sawing this watermelon. Yeah, I am a political activist also, and we did the first official dike march in Linz. Yeah, I was the speaker for the demonstration. This was my sign. It was about my big clit, because I found out that people, mostly white cis men, are very scared of the clit. They might be afraid that they can't control it. And if you mention this word clit, it's chaos. It's online hate crime and nobody stops it. They focus their fucking shit on a nipple. And it makes me so angry. And I got shadow banned for that. So it's a fucking nipple. Get over it.
So that's what's coming up in today's episode. Before we get started, you might want to head over to theartofbeingqueer.com to follow along with today's blog, with the art that we will be discussing. So now let's meet the guest of today's episode, Alice Moore. Hey Alice, would you like to give an introduction?
Well, I'm Alice Moore. I'm from Austria. Yeah, that's the little country in middle Europe. I'm 29 years old, so getting older. And I'm a social worker actually. And then I decided to become an artist, which I think is a great decision. I never regretted a shit about it. I love it. It's my passion. I also like doing social work, but I prefer doing art because it's when you can feel it, it's the right thing to do. You can feel it with your heart, with all your passion, and it feels so real and so true. And it's like we're living in a world that's full of fake, 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 fake. And this is the first thing in my life that felt real.
Thanks for the introduction, Alice. Could you tell us about the first ever queer art piece that you created?
It was back in school. I was doing an art class and I had no idea what I'm actually doing, but I did it. It's courageous somehow, but also naive somehow. But I did it. I did a performance. And I later found out that it was some kind of drag, queer performance, and I had never read anything about it. It was like it came from inside and I just let it flow. And I was wearing somehow a dress and also put some socks there, and that I did a performance, and it's it's about Plato, and Plato is a Greek myth about people who are actually two genders at the same time loving each other. And it's about love, why we are seeking for the other person or people in my case. And it says that we were too powerful for the gods and goddesses like that, so they split us. And in my performance, I tried to become one again. So with my male and female side, I became one in one person. And I did this at school and they were quite what the hell is actually happening? Because I come from the countryside. I mean, we have I think around 10,000 people are living there. So, and I was colorful since, I don't know, I was 40 years old. And then this was so next level, this performance. And they were we don't know what's happening. It's fine. It's cool. But we don't know what you are telling us. Yeah. And this was my art career not starting. Because I don't know. I felt it seemed I did something. I don't know how to define it. It felt so right. But maybe it's not what I should do. Because you can't earn money with it, and it's not people don't get me at all. So this would be another point where people won't get me. So I decided to do social work, which is not the safest job, but at least safer than art. And during my studies in social work, I started drawing strange pictures of queer figures and aliens. And I was somehow I had this, I don't know, I had to do this. I was looking for something, and someday I decided to study art, and then I did it. And I somehow reenacted this performance in a wedding dress when having a beard, a fake beard. And this was my starting point at art university, and I never regretted it. And then I came to university, and then they were talking about things like drag and queer, and I was like, oh my God, yeah, this is what I am. And I'm so happy about the process, because I really can say that it came from deep inside. It was not like, okay, it's not a, I don't know, fashion thing I follow or something like that. It came from inside of me, and this is who I really am, and I'm so happy about this.
With what you just said about it not being a fashion, do you think that queer culture is becoming more mainstream?
Yes, and this it has its pro and cons, I think. It's nice because I also did mainstream art. I call it representational art. And I was invited to TV shows, bigger and smaller ones, and I went there and I got a lot of critics for that from the queer bubble also. And for selling things. But I think we have our place there. We're not like the subculture of freaks who shouldn't be represented there. So I think it's okay to do it. And it's queer is also like a method for trying out. So it can be a tool or a movement, or it can be both. So why shouldn't we allow people to use this tool, which helped us so much? Because if they're not really queer, they won't, I don't know, go on with it anyway. So why not trying it? I once had that queer people shouldn't be represented by too colorful people only and too crazy people only. That's when I get very outrageous, because hey, that's our space. You can be part of it. We can all play those queer roles, but don't you dare to fuck it up to make it cis roles. But I think, if you see it as a tool, and I think it's a very powerful tool, because people overthink their concepts and their structures and their heteronormativity. And so it's for the good sense, you know, and if it's for the good thing, then do it. It's okay for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. Should we talk about some of the pieces that you sent across now?
Yeah, which one do you prefer? Maybe my last character, Eric Bigclit.
Yeah, why don't you tell us all about Eric Bigclit?
So I do drag shows now, and in Austria there are hardly any drag kings. And like we had in Graz, this Tuntenball, so fag ball. And I was the first drag king performing there, and it was such an honor. And I did the song from Mulan, like Be a Real Man, and I had this fake beard on, and my chainsaw, and sawing this watermelon. And it was so much fun, and I hardly practiced it, but I still did it. And the funny thing about it is that it was like, for me, I fulfilled myself a dream when doing this, because I fucking love Mulan. She was so powerful when she left her father's house and she cut her hair and she was like going out in the rain. Yeah, amazing. And then I was on stage and performing with this character and I felt so powerful. And I loved my costume, by the way.
I loved your costume too.
Thank you. It's like, it's like a huge chance to be on stage. To, I don't know, show another side of you or present another aspect of yourself, maybe. I don't know, performance, yeah, what is performance anyway? I don't know. It's like maybe a way to becoming more aware of yourself. I don't think we should define queer art too much, because then we fuck up queerness. It's like a process. Queer is more like a process, I think. It's not like a steady thing you can own, and this is what we love about it. I mean, there is the queer culture, and of course there are people like being part of this, but it's, for me also, it's a process. You are in the flow, in alignment, whatever. Queerness is that for me.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Alice. So now I want to talk about another image that you sent across. It's one of you at a protest with a sign saying, suck my big clit.
Yeah. I am a political activist also, and we did the first, as far as our researchers told us, it was the first official dike march in Linz, the small town I live in Austria. And it was I was the speaker for the demonstration. So this was my sign. It was about my big clit, because I found out that people, mostly white cis men, straight white cis men, are very scared of the clit. Because it's so much of a power and lust and desire, and they might be afraid that they can't control it. And so I think I also made this experience when I was on TV with Eric Bicklett, my drag character. And they said that I couldn't say that my name is Clit because there is clitoris in it. So I was not allowed to say this on TV. And it's amazing for me that like a clitoris, genitalia, whatever, is still such a like so political, because it is what it is, and it scares people. You can't talk about this. You're always hearing like straight cis dudes talking about their big thing, and it's always about like when you're like biting a banana, it's always about ha ha ha, you know. It's always about this phallocentric, I don't know, perceptions we have, and it's so wrong. It's so like perverted and so over sexual. And if you mention this word clit, people get like, it's chaos. And I don't know why.
It reminds me of the Free the Nipple movement. And didn't you also have some problems relating to that?
Yes, and I also, my hashtag was also like trans and gender fluid, and they still did it. So it's like wrong on so many levels. Yeah, and I think I have 2 strikes already, so the third might be my last one. So yeah, I can't show all my videos, my art videos, because it would like I get blocked, and I got shadow banned for that. So it's a fucking nipple, get over it. And they forget about the real violence, their discrimination in words and actions. And this is like hate, it's hate crime, it's online hate crime, and nobody stops it. They focus their fucking shit on a nipple, and it makes me so angry. The real violence goes on and grows and grows. And the little nipple is really like revolutionary today. So, okay, then I'm a revolution. I'm fine with it.
Do you think there'll always be a necessity for queer art?
The dreamer says hopefully not. But realistically, yeah, I think there is like a big necessity for that, because we have like right-wing parties all over the world. We have like sexist, patriarchal, violent people sitting there and like fucking us up and trying to make us fight against each other. Like, I don't know, so much hate everywhere. So I think it's very necessary for everybody to become as queer as possible. And we have to fight to share our freedom and to show alternative ways. You know, this is very important to show people, okay, but you can do it anyway, like this, try it like this, there's another way, it's not the only way, do it. Yeah, and maybe somehow we have to show them.
Well, thank you so much for showing yourself today on the podcast. Before we go, is there anything that you would like to add?
I want to share some queer Austrian frisch käse with you, because I forgot my tampon plaque today, so I use this along with you, so enjoy.
So you can't see what just happened, but Alice just took a breadstick from her stretched ear and dipped it into some queer Swiss cheese and took a bite.
It's so good.
One thing I noticed when you sent your work across was your tampon plug that you normally wear. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
It's very political for people too. I lost my plug accidentally when I went out, and so I came home a bit drunk. And then I was looking in a bathroom for something I could like that fits in, yeah. And then I found this tampon, and I was like, the next day I woke up, I saw it looks actually pretty nice. And so I kept it. And then I found that the people like, love it too, especially young people love it. And when I was working like in a youth care center before I got fired for doing porn, I had to take it out, because a young man felt distracted by it. And I didn't ever think about this, that is so, I know I'm a political person, but that it's like such political actions I'm doing with just this. I didn't expect that. It was an amazing experience. And now I'm mostly keep wearing it, but not today.
We'll make sure that we put the pictures in the blog so people can see what we're talking about. Thanks so much for sharing with us today, Alice.
Sharing is caring. We all have stories to tell. And if there is a chance like this, in a very respectful way and a good way, I think, from what I know now, it sounds perfect, then use your chance and your opportunity. Sharing is caring. Yeah, and family, as I said before, it's all about being like a family and supporting each other as much as we can. So do your job.
So sadly, that takes us to the end of this episode of the Art of Being Queer podcast. I want to thank Alice Moore for being a fantastic guest today. Also, a massive thank you to our Patreon supporters, Demo Damie and Alpha Wings. If you like what we're doing with the podcast and would like to support us, head over to patreon.com/theartofbeingqueer. A final thank you to Queen Toast for creating the wonderful instrumental in the background of this podcast. Make sure to subscribe and leave a review, and I'll see you next time.